Good morning. Please be seated. It is truly an awesome privilege to share God's word with each one of you because I think we all have I know we all have that same bond. We are part of the body of Christ, and we've fellowshiped together for many years, and if not, at least an hour now. And it's just incredible to know that there's others that stand together and know that we have a faithful God and a God that does care for us. For Grace to share that testimony is just another praising glory to God that he is faithful. And sometimes healing comes in us just listening to him. Because he tells us in his word is directly from him. God-breathed word. And then he tells us through the manifestations of the Spirit. And then he tells us through one another. But a lot of times, if we would just listen to him, we'd have the answers. But today I want to share, continue on the armor of God. So please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And it truly is a privilege to stand together with those that have the foundation of God's word. And today I decided to dress, and I wore a belt to show that I am standing on the foundation of God. God's word is faithful, and I also have a belt on just to hold it all together. So it's a wonderful thing what we have that God has provided for us. And we really are a peculiar people. We are God's people. Yeah, our strength is not in our flesh. Our strength is in God and what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Bob asked me if I was ready to teach, and I said, I may not be ready, but God is ready to share his word. And it's not about me. It's about him. It's not about each one of us. It's about God working in us. "But put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the darkness of the rulers of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You know, we don't fight against each other. We don't fight against the world, the flesh. We fight against the adversary. This is the Lord's battle. It's not ours. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." God has provided us a way to stand in giving us a whole armor. Nothing that God does is partial. Everything is whole. It's complete. We are complete in Christ. Completely complete in Christ. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Jesus Christ paid the price so that we could be whole. "The armor is a gift wrap package of the Christ in us, everything we have in Christ, demonstrating the power of God." Okay, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And that's what Jan shared last week. And if you haven't heard it, the teaching is on our website, www.sdbiblicalstudies.com. And it was truly tremendous. We stand because we have a foundation. You know the man that built his house on the sand? When the winds came, it fell apart. We have a solid rock. The Lord Jesus Christ is our foundation. We know the word of God. There's many people that have no idea why they're living, what their purpose is. We have a purpose. We are sons of God. We have a foundation to stand on, and there's nothing that can make us sway except our own minds. We forget who we are. We can't allow that. God wants us to stand, and he's prepared us to stand upright, stand up straight. "Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all of this, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And I want to share on that shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith gives us the authority to use the name of Jesus Christ to command deliverance. The shield that Paul had in mind here was an oblong door-like shield curved to the shape of your body. And it's an analogy of the military soldier. Now, God gives us mind pictures on how to understand his word. And he gives us this picture of a soldier. And he's got this girdle around his waist, standing firm. You know, if your back hurts, your body is not, you're not going to stand right. We've got that foundation, that girdle there. And then he has this shield. He holds a shield. And that shield protects his whole body. And then when all of the troops come together, when they join their shields, they form a wall with a body of troops that will hide themselves from the rains of the enemy missiles. So they lock arms together, and they have this protection. Well, God has provided us the shield of believing to protect us from the fiery darts of the devil. Now, we have the victory, but there will be times when we are challenged because the devil is the god of this world. But God has provided us that equipment, that means to protect ourselves so that we can have the victory, that God can get the glory. When we get healed, God gets the glory. When we get that worry and fear out of our lives. Now, when you live in doubt, it's very difficult to be successful because you doubt everything you do. Now, you ever think, well, should I have done this? Should I have done this? Well, we have the truth. We know what our purpose is, so we don't have to live in doubt or fear. So what is a shield? Let's look at Psalm 144. God has provided his word so that even a child shouldn't err. He says that he will care for us, that he will help us stand. And he tells us to have childlike believing. Little Debbie, when you come home from school, do you wonder if you're going to have dinner at night?
No.
No, how come? How do you know that? You always do. When you open that refrigerator, do you find something in there to eat? But why? Why is there always something in there? Because it just flies in there from the grocery store? Yes, because mommy and daddy bought it because they wanted to make sure that you were blessed, that you're nourished. And you know what? God says that, Job said that thy word, I have esteemed thy word more than my necessary food. And that should be our hearts. This word is so powerful that he sent his word and healed them just by hearing the word of God. Today, as I speak the word, as you see this word, you can be delivered from something that's bothering you, something that has bothered you for 3 years, bothered you your whole life. If there's a generational thing that has hurt you, by confessing God's word, by hearing God's word, you can be delivered. But we'll get into that. But let's look at Psalm 144 and verse 1 and 2. But we have a faithful God that loves us. Psalm 144, 1, it says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, my rock, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. He is my shield in whom I trust. Part of believing, it's the shield of believing. Well, believing comes from trusting. When you put your, if you get paid direct deposit from your company you work for, do you wonder if that money's going to come? Or if you put money in the bank, do you wonder if when you write a check that the money is going to be there? Not necessarily. If you do, maybe you want to move to another bank. But we have a lot of trust in everything we do. When you sit down in that chair, do you trust that it's going to hold you? Certainly. When you go to your car, you trust that the key that you own fits into that car. You never think, gee, I wonder if this is the right key. So much of our life we trust in. We have to put, God is allowing us. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to put our trust in him. He is that shield. He has protected us. He's called us out before the foundation of the world to be his very own. And he's faithful. He's not a man that he should lie. And we trust a lot of men, don't we? But God is not a man that he should lie. He's the one that we want to trust. And his word is faithful. Let's look at Genesis 15. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures today. But you know what? This is the most important thing you can do today. Because we are fellowshipping with the Heavenly Father and with one another. And there's nothing more that important that you can do, because it is life unto your very breath and to your very soul. Genesis 15:1 says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." God is his shield and exceeding great reward. And verse 6 says, "And Abraham, he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Abraham had an incredible situation. God promised him that he would be the father of many nations. For 25 years, he had to stand on that promise. And what God did for him, he gave him the shield for him, was he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And every time he spoke his name, Abraham meant the father of many nations. So every time someone asked him, "Who are you, buddy?" he said, "I'm Abraham, father of many nations." And every time we confess the word, God stands behind it. He gives us that strength. When people are hurting, the only thing we can do is give them God's love. We represent God today. So God has provided a way so that we can stand, and it's that word of God that helps us stand. What is faith? Faith is to believe and to trust. It's to rely on. It is believing God's word and trusting him to fulfill it. Both elements must be present to make faith. You must trust, you must believe, and then trust. Trust has an element of, it's a confidence, but it's a standing that nothing, I can't budge from it. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. He had to stay as a rock. God said it, that settles it. I know we used to have the saying, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." Well, God said it, that really settles it. It's up to me to believe it. Right? Every word of God's word can come to pass if we truly believe it, trust in it. Let's look at, and part of believing is confession. When we got born again, what do? We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. When we want to see God's word come to pass, we confess it. We've got to believe it. There's an interesting account in Daniel chapter 5. I'm going to move along here. The kids are doing wonderfully. Daniel chapter 3. I'm just going to read a few verses. Daniel was a story. I think all you kids know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three guys that were challenged, that they were supposed to bow down to this huge image, that they were to sake their God, and they were to bow down. Every time the music played, that they were to bow down. And they said, "We're not going to bow." So the king said, "Well, then you're going to have to be thrown into the fiery furnace." So, what did they say? Well, let's look at verse 14. "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I set up? You don't do that?" Verse 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." Now, we've thought about this, and this is our answer. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Now, he says, "If it be so." Now, "if it be so" is, if you decide to throw us into the fiery furnace, our God's going to deliver us. That's my confession, and I'm sticking to it. That's what we need to do. This is the action we need to do. If God said, I'm healed, then you speak to that pain and say, you have to be gone. Jesus Christ took on all that for me so that I could be free. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Shall. Jesus healed all that needed healing. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And verse 18, it says, but if not, God will deliver us, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, that be if not, it's not, well, if God won't deliver us, it's if you decide not to throw us in the fiery furnace, we still are not going to bow to you. So throw us whatever you want, we're still not going to bow. And our God is going to deliver. Isn't that powerful? And we can say that, and we don't have to say our God. We can say, my Abba, my Father, the Father that loved me, that took me out of darkness and gave me light, that has given me a future, all eternity, to enjoy him. He's going to deliver me. Well, what happened? Who knows the end of the story? Did they get thrown in the furnace? What happened? Did they shrivel up?
Nope.
They were dancing. They were standing around, and the king finally said, wait a minute. You know, we set this fire so hot, and they still, even the men that threw them into the furnace, they got burnt up. I guess they didn't follow the right God, did they? No, they were not afraid because they knew God would deliver them. The devil will tell us, he'll say, but if you don't get healed, God still loves you. Yeah, God does still love you. But buts belong to God. God says in his word, but by his mercy and grace, but my God shall supply all your need. Buts are excuses in our realm. Buts give emphasis in God's realm, but God shall supply. Can you see that? So we don't need to give excuses for God, because he will do what he says he will do. So don't allow your mind to kind of get a way out. Because faith means that you stand. You know that God's going to deliver. And I'm going to just continue to confess it. I'm not going to give up because God hasn't given up on me. He could have given up on all of us. None of us were worthy to become his children. Because all we are is flesh and blood. But when we got born again, we became his children. And he's proud of us. Are your kids, are your parents proud of you? When you bring those little pictures home, don't they think those are the most beautiful things in the world? Yeah, because you made them. Every time that we speak God's word, our Father smiles. He's so thankful that there's someone that will take him at his word. It took him all of the ages to get to this point where Jesus Christ could bring man back to that relationship that God intended in the garden. Because one man sinned, one man had to bring us back to that relationship that God so longed for. He so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And what a future we have. So let's go back here. We'll just finish up a little bit here. It says in verse 27. And the princes, governors, and captains, the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servant that trusted in him, and hath changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Here's a man who was into idolatry. He saw the power of God, And he made a decree, and he had the authority to do that, to make a decree that everyone should bow down, that there's no other God that can deliver. We have a living testimony. Each one of us got born again. We were delivered from the greatest delivery we ever needed. And then Jesus Christ paid the price. He took on every sickness, disease, everything that would steal us of our joy of who we are in Christ. And that those fiery darts, the shield, the shield is that which protects us with our believing. And the name of Jesus Christ ignites that shield. Let's see, what was I going to say? So it ignites us so that at any time we can say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am free. The devil has to stop. He has to stop his maneuvers against God's people. So the fiery darts, okay, what are the fiery darts? Those are things that steal our joy. It affects sickness. There you go, you got your shield there. I'm not going to take it because Jesus Christ healed me. By his stripes I was healed. How about sadness? No, we have the joy of the Lord is our strength. Any oppression that the adversary has, he'll shoot at us. We stick up that shield. I have the word of God. I have the promises that in the name of Jesus Christ, you have to stop in your maneuvers against God's people. That's what that shield has done for us. We have the confidence. We know God's word is true. We have the promises. We claim the promises. We believe and trust in them. And then we use the name of Jesus Christ. We know the promises are that God sent his word and healed them. He's delivered them. We don't have to live in poverty. We don't have to live in all of the curses that our families were put on, have had, osteoporosis, heart failure, all these things. We're free. Jesus Christ took on every sickness and disease. The chastisement that was to bring us peace was upon him. Can you have peace without God? No. The world doesn't know peace. And when you talk to someone, usually they start out with something negative because they don't have anything to really stand on, but we do. Jesus Christ took on all of that so that we could be free. And what we need to do is when we get those fiery darts, we've got to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, stop. Because God's word says, I am his people. I am his daughter, and he takes care of me. He knows the very hairs on my head. Isn't that something? And I comb my hair and I lose a few. And he has to keep counting. I'm an accountant, and wow, that's a heavy duty. He knows every one of us. How big is that? Isn't that amazing? Let's look at Jesus Christ gave you. And we use the name of Jesus Christ because we have authority in his name. It says in Philippians that every knee should bow unto the name of Jesus Christ from in heaven and on earth. But let's look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 is a great example of deliverance. And there's one aspect in here that really helps in explaining how healing works too. Because one element, we know the word. We know the word says we can be healed. We can be delivered. So how do we receive it? It's like a Christmas package. This package is so beautifully wrapped. And you admire the wrapping for a while. But then your curiosity kind of gets to you like, okay, what's inside of it? And then you finally open it and go, wow, I can't believe it was that easy. Someone loved me that much. Well, God's word is a whole gift that's given to us that all we have to do is open it and we'll see how much he loves us and wants to take care of us. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with him, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them, something of them. You know, this man was there for 40 years. He was lame his whole life. You know, he was probably at that temple gate beautiful while Jesus Christ walked by. You know what happened here? He had an expectation to receive. He may not have had that expectation. He may not have really understood who Jesus Christ was. At this time, he had the expectation to receive something of them. Well, they knew what they should give to him. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And what did he do? Well, let me think about this. I heard it, and now let me think about it. No, he was expecting to receive something, so he was ready to do whatever it took. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. This man expected to receive something of them. In the name of Jesus Christ, his body was made whole. He didn't have, you know, his ankles were probably withered up. He had no strength. He couldn't walk. But because the name of Jesus Christ was given, immediately he was strengthened. And then what did he do? He received it and he walked and leaped and praised God. And all the people saw him walking. In verse 16 it says, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And when God does something, it's something for everyone to see. Because it's a testimony of what God, believing is a testimony of what God has done and what he will do for you. So when someone gets healed, delivered of anything, it builds your expectation. Claudia told us the other day, they went to the park and with their dog, and she was walking and she fell into a gopher hole. Stepped right into a hole, and all of a sudden she heard this crack. And then the pain came. And she said, "God!" And Tom was standing nearby, and all of a sudden her ankle received its strength, the pain was gone, and she walked, right? And she said that it was such a blessing to her, because sometimes you think, "Where are you, God?" And what all he needs to do is say, "Come to me, children." He's asking us to come to him. He told us that so many times in the manifestations. All we have to do, "But God, her help, help." No more buts, okay? We'll take that off our vocabularies. So we don't want any excuses, because God is faithful. He's given us his word. We can stand strong. We have that shield. And when we stand together, expecting to receive wholeness, then we're going to get it. I listened to a teaching one time. This man was teaching, and then he asked, "How come this church never invites him back to teach anymore?" And he says, the pastor said, "Because we don't need any healing. Every time someone coughs, there's somebody right there to minister to them." They just don't allow it. You know, we have to say, "No, I'm not going to accept it. I'm expecting deliverance." That's what our lives are all about, because God so loves you. He loves each one of us. He gave that price just for each one of us, so we don't have to have any mental torment. His love is what heals. His love is what energizes believing. I think we're going to I have a few more notes, but you know, there's so much we can share on this. But the big thing is, we have the name of Jesus Christ. We have God's word. God said it. That settles it. We need to believe it. Let's close in Acts chapter 4. I think you might still be there. But we have this protection that in our believing, in our expectation, that God will perform what he says he will perform, that he will deliver us. And those darts that shoot, just look for them to explode somewhere else, because they're not going to affect you. You just stand faithful, and you stand hand in hand. And when you need some help, when that dart looks like it's starting to come or it's penetrated a little bit, then you ask God, okay, what do I need now? Help me. Tell me what that you love me. And pray. Continue to praise him. Just, you are a God. I know maybe my back is hurting right now, but I know you're a faithful God, and you've delivered me once. You're going to deliver me twice, and you're going to deliver me for the rest of my life. God's never too busy for us. But there was a great prayer at the end of the book of Acts here in verse 29. It says, Acts chapter 4. And it says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that we may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, or thy son Jesus, our deliverer." And when they had prayed, that the prayer was shaken, place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now they prayed for more boldness to speak the word, and that's what our prayer should be. We just want to have the holy boldness to say, anyone that's hurting, you know, your God can deliver you. That there's a God out there that loves you, that has forgiven you. Sometimes we just need to forgive ourselves. We've been forgiven. We've been loved. We need to accept that love. We are worthy. He cares for us. If he cares for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, how much greater are you? Doesn't he care for you? So we need that boldness, that confidence in the name of Jesus Christ that I am delivered and made whole. And we need to stand together. And that's my message for you today. And I'd like to have everyone stand up. And I want us to stand together in a circle. And then I want to pray. Okay, we want to lock our shields of faith together. And
first,
yeah.
Just step on out. Just step out and then move back into a circle.
Okay. Do you hold your brother's hand? That by him we were, that each one of us receive all that you've given. Just rebuke hearts. We stand together and have that armor that there's nothing the adversary can do. So right now I just commend Jesus Christ that sickness and disease and any can be gone, that your people can be free. And we know that if the Son therefore hath made us free, we shall be free indeed. So thank you for the privilege of knowing you, of your love surrounding each one of us, and that today we can walk out as healed, delivered, and we can walk and leap and praise you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.